T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I just want one commitment from you. When you head to Mars, you won't take Jill. She could be gone too long.
You're making it monkey of defense, man.
The rest of us are here too, pal.
I don't represent Donald Trump, but I do stand for justice.
Don't be a knucklehead and riot.
I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star.
Well, that's not sanctimonious, is it? Hey, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Wow, there's a lot going on today. If you're just joining us, where you been the last few hours? I don't know. Should have been up early this morning listening to Todd Pyro on Fox and Friends First. And then, of course, our show, which got started here at 5, 2 hours ago. You've missed a lot. I've had live interviews with the Missouri State Senators who were involved in encountering a filibuster overnight. I mean, they've been in Jeff City. They were awake all night. He joined me at live in the 5 o'clock hour this morning. So if you miss you miss a couple hours, you can miss a lot. I just have to tell you that. Great conversation on sports betting in Missouri and what's going to go on in the schools. We got lots to get to still. Bottom of the hour, we're going to get to Cam Edwards and 2A Tuesday, because the president took some executive actions last week regarding guns. There's still debate on SAPA down in Jeff City, and we're keeping an eye on that for you. We'll talk to Cam Edwards coming up at the bottom of the hour. Next hour, we switch our attention to school board issues. And there are a bunch of them, and the Post-Dispatch is all worried about how partisan school boards are becoming these days, which is a joke. It's just a joke. They've been partisan for years. The elections themselves, the candidates may not have an R or a D after their names, but you have to pay attention to that a very large number of them have always been backed by the Missouri NEA in Missouri or the Missouri State Teachers Association, which represent the teachers, which represent the goals and the strategies of the nationwide teachers' unions. And if you just go to their website and look, you don't need me to tell you about it. It's been partisan for a long time. We're going to talk to Kathy Guerra. She is one of those nonpartisan school board members running out in Parkway. She's going to tell me what motivated her to run. She's one of these parents who'd had enough. And we're going to get to her coming up at about 8:20 this morning. Before we get to our guest, I have to play a little something from yesterday, because I thought this was – there's a lot of focus on what may or may not happen with Donald Trump today. The rumor has it he's not going to be indicted, but they've still put up steel barriers all around the courthouse in New York. They even put – just to be safe, because what Donald Trump said about – protesting harkens them back to January 6th. They've put up barriers around the nation's Capitol building again, because you just never know when a massive crowd of, I don't know, 400,000 people may descend on Washington, D.C., and a handful of people may try to break into the Capitol. Because, you know, that could happen again, because in the media's mind, that was Donald Trump's fault to begin with. But now they've moved on to something else. They want Donald Trump no matter what. When I say they, I mean the progressive left politicians in this country. They don't care how weak the case is. They don't care that nobody else has ever been charged with it. They only want Donald Trump to have to walk into a courthouse and get his mug shot for purely partisan reasons. If you don't believe me, I want you to hear it in their own words. Here you go.
Simply because he may have committed worse crimes, you don't let him off of lesser crimes. If you are, for example, seeking a prosecution for murder, if the guy gets caught drunk driving in another context before that, you don't just let him go because you have bigger fish to fry.
Nobody is above the law, including Donald Trump. It doesn't matter that this is kind of a minor crime compared to some of the other allegations.
A crime is a crime is a crime is a crime. That's what anybody prosecuting or a judge would say.
A crime is a crime is a crime, as Mika said. An indictment is an indictment is an indictment.
I'm not the smartest guest you've ever had, but the people seem to love me. This was inappropriately close. Maybe not the yolk of Joe Biden. Don't put cherry on a poop sundae. This is so silly. It's so simple. DVR me.
Todd Pyro, good morning to you, my friend. I know you've been up all night. Some of these people have been sleeping. I don't know where they've been. How are you?
Well, some of these people, who are you yelling at? That sounds like an old man, get off my lawn. Who are you talking about? Some of these people have been sleeping.
I told them if they miss a couple hours, they miss a lot. We've been at this since early this morning, covering the news of the day, right?
Oh, I got it. I see where you're going with that. I thought you were talking about the people in the clip. And look, I don't know if they've been sleeping or if they've been awake, but regardless, they are 100% incorrect on the law. Like, a crime is a crime is a crime, except this isn't a crime.
Alvin Bragg doesn't seem to care.
Well, he doesn't. And this is obviously all political, and he has a fertile ground to win here because, you know, it's New York City, 80% blue, and he was elected by the people of New York City who don't seem to care that, you know, he's allowing them to be shot and killed on a day in and day out basis. But, you know, why would the truth ever matter, you know?
You know, is it true? I mean, obviously, I know you don't spend a lot of time in the city. You come to work, you do your job, you get the hell out of Dodge. But they do have barriers up around the courthouse there in Manhattan, right?
So I've been told. I mean, yeah. I am nowhere. You know where the studio is and you know where. I mean, that's what our video has been showing. So I'd imagine it's true. I'd imagine, you know, we're not shooting fake video and AIing it, you know what I mean? But in terms of, like, is the city in this lockdown feel, not really. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'll see something different on my walk to the train station in about 47 minutes. But by and large, I think we've reported it's not happening today if it's going to happen at all. So I think that tells you everything you need to know. Just because if there's going to be another grand jury witness tomorrow, it's pretty tough to secure an indictment today. But again, see our conversation from a minute ago. It's New York City. Who knows what could happen?
Yeah, that's true. But it is the lead story up there. I mean, the lead story is not that somebody pooped in the same theater as the Clintons yesterday, right? Yeah.
You saw that?
I'm just saying. I mean, which story is getting top billing in New York right now? Is it the poop, the person that pooped in the theater with Hillary Clinton, or is it the Donald Trump potential indictment?
Mark, let me say this. You are digging deep into the bowels of the New York Post.
Just saying.
In order to find that. So actually, that was pretty high up there. It was probably like in the top five stories. So maybe you didn't have to, you know, dig that deep. But yeah, I mean, that's a wild story. Like, what's happened to our society? Like, you know, we 20 years ago, thinking about defecating in public would have been like, you know, one step below murdering someone. Now we have an entire city, multiple cities filled with defecators.
You can't walk down the sidewalk in San Francisco in places like
can't.
That. No.
To your point, though, our coverage, at least on the Fox and Friends First program, of which I am a part, we let the defecator defecate in peace, and we focused on Trump.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. I did, you know, this morning I jokingly said I felt like I was reading the Onion or the Babylon Bee, but there was a headline in Breitbart, of all places, that pointed out that Dollar Tree, there's Dollar Tree stores all over the place, dollar stores down here in Missouri and in Illinois, has stopped selling eggs because I guess they can't sell them for a reasonable price anymore. I thought it was something from the Babylon Bee. And then I read, again, in the New York Post, right below the Hillary Clinton story, that the home of the $1 slice in New York is now $1.50.
And they just did that on Fox and Friends. Literally, as we were talking about the theater incident, as I'm going to call it, in case people are, you know, having breakfast in St. Louis.
Yes.
They were literally doing the $1 pizza now up to $1.50, and they were eating pizza. And because, you know, I'm on with you, I couldn't get a free piece of pizza. So, So thanks for that, Mark Cox. You know what? In addition to the Blues jersey, the bourbon, and the Mark Cox T-shirt, you now need to send me a pie. How about that?
You want a St. Louis pizza pie? I don't know what kind of shape it would be in by the time it got there.
Well, tell me a little bit more about this. I am not familiar with – I'm familiar with your barbecue. I'm familiar with your jazz. I'm familiar with your blues. what about your pizza?
I know, Carl, would we describe Emo's as the St. Louis style of pizza?
Yeah. It's with Provel cheese, which is
nothing to me.
Okay, yeah, it's a St. Louis thing. And it's also very thin crust. Some people call it a cracker.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's not like that deep dish kind of stuff, or even the $1.50 slice you would see there at the pizzerias in New York.
Because it doesn't. It cracks. It doesn't fold.
Can I say an unpopular truth?
Please.
I don't like New York pizza.
I think it's
wildly overrated, as is so much of the food in this city. You want to know where the pizza's really good?
Somewhere in Connecticut.
Well, Jersey, I think growing up, I liked our pizza in Essex County versus the pizza in New York City. I've always said that. But the pizza in Connecticut, they like to claim that they invented pizza, especially there in New Haven. It's really good. And, you know, people travel to Connecticut for, you know, leaf peeping in the fall and pizza the rest of the time. It's good. I'll give them credit for that. But I'm curious. I'd like to try St. Louis pizza if I ever come out there.
We will fix you up with some of that. You know, it's some people love it. Some people don't. Mostly people that didn't grow up here. It's an acquired taste. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
And yeah. I made it sound less appetizing than it actually
you really
is.
Didn't sell it.
Probably not.
It's an acquired taste, and if you grew up here, it is what you know.
I don't want to deprive sponsors of this program, but if I'm a pizza company and I'm listening to that, I was like, you know what? We got a great deal signing on the dotted line with Mark Cox today. We're going to, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't do that.
Oh boy! So here I want you to give me your position on this. So a couple years ago, we traveled to Dublin, and we were getting ready to fly out of Chicago, and we had some time to kill, and we went to a little pizza place near O'Hare Airport in Chicago, and they had this famous Chicago deep dish pizza. Everybody brags about it. I don't even remember the name of the place, but that's what we went in and got. First of all, it's incredibly expensive, and the smallest one you can get is the, I don't know, 16 inch. It's huge, and it takes them an hour to cook it. And they bring it to the table, and it's me and my daughter and my wife. And honestly, each slice is a meal. I mean, it's 2 inches thick. It's filled with meat, and I mean, it's just delicious. It really is. When we get done, we're getting ready to get on an airplane. There's 2/3 of this pizza still there. We each had a slice, and we were stuffed. And we can't take it with us because we're getting on an airplane. And I said to my wife and my daughter, I'm going to take this pizza and give it to those guys at the table over there. They were horrified. You can't give our leftover food to other people in the restaurant. Where do you come down on that? I mean, maybe it's a guy-girl thing. I would have no problem at a place where I know the pizza's $30 a piece. If somebody had a bunch of leftover pizza, they weren't going to take it with them. I'd take it home and put it in the fridge and eat it later.
This is really the legal quandary of our time, isn't
honestly,
it?
Honestly, it's a deep, deep question for you this morning.
Because, yeah, I mean, I see both sides of the argument. They're trying to run an establishment. They need every person who's going to be taking up a seat to be putting money into the business, because otherwise you're keeping a seat from somebody who would be doing that. But, you know, you don't like food to go to waste. That's what your parents told you growing up. And, you know, you have an opportunity to feed people, which is, you know, kind of our mission from God.
Yes.
I really went religious on this one. I went from this weird cheese on St. Louis pies to me becoming loaves and bread, loaves and fishes here. I feel like this should be like one of these things you post online and ask the people of St. Louis to weigh in. I'm torn. I don't know which way to go on this.
I'll put it up on Twitter. So I was not trying to give it to somebody who hadn't ordered yet, but there was a table of guys next to us that I knew would take that home along with whatever other leftovers they had and eat it later. I just hated to see it go to waste. And my wife was horrified that I would try to give
side with you.
Leftover
I
pizza.
I side with you on that. Yeah. If they've already ordered and they're not taking it, then I side with you. If they have ordered, I think that's a little bit more of a complicated situation.
It definitely is a little more complicated. So, Todd, I played a little bit of the bite from the White House press room yesterday. First of all, I'm not quite sure why the hell Ted Lasso is giving me advice on mental health. But he's in the White House press room yesterday, and they get into it with Corinne Jean-Pierre. I just want to play that very first bite of that, Carl, the shorter of the two bites.
We're not doing this. We're not doing this. We're not doing this.
We're not doing this.
You've been discriminating against me and discriminating against some people in the briefing room. And I'm saying that this is the U.S., this is not China, this is not Russia. This is not Russia.
Okay.
What you are doing, you are making a mockery of the First
Amendment.
So, what, as a reporter, what's your reaction to that? I mean, I'm not surprised that Corinne Jean-Pierre pushed back on him because she doesn't call on him anyway. But fellow reporters in the press corps are attacking this guy for standing up for his rights to be able to ask the occasional question.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. The thing that I was drawn to actually was KJP's response. I mean, I guarantee I will say something similar to my 2-year-old today.
Yeah, thank you. We're not doing this.
We're not doing this. Let's go. Stop hitting your sister. That was if she would have said that, I would have been like, oh, now I know where I've heard this before. But I understand the competitive aspect of it. I mean, they want their questions asked. And so, you know, why would you defend somebody? And I feel like every now and again, they'll come together in unity. But, I mean, I feel like, yeah, I agree. They threw this guy under the bus completely. And, you know, if I hadn't been called on for a week, yeah, maybe I'd have, maybe it's kind of, you know, recognize your term. But 7 months, I mean, I feel like this guy has a point.
You and I have both been in that press room. I mean, it's what?
I have not.
You've not been in there?
No. They don't allow me in.
I went up a couple years ago and got a press pass and went in, and it's tiny. I mean, it's maybe 15 rows deep, if that many rows, and maybe 10 rows across. You can't fit that many people in there. Maybe it's 10 rows deep. But you know, I've talked to other correspondents up there from other networks, And one of whom I have on the show occasionally, and she's sort of been blacklisted by Corinne Jean-Pierre. She's one of the reporters. Pierre just won't call on her. And I mean, that I think that I don't know that that was happening in the previous administration. Maybe it's been happening for years and I just haven't been aware of it because I'm not there on a daily basis. But it really seems like if you've got a reporter covering Africa, he's an international reporter covering Africa Today, and they're sending the vice president to Africa, you might let that guy ask a question.
Nah. No, that's too obvious. That's like that scene in Airplane. I'm digging deep, and they're talking about, should we put on the lights on the runway? And then Robert Stack in this, like, sinister, great actor, Robert Stack, right? In that sinister, he's like, no, it's too obvious.
Yeah.
They'll know we're coming or something like that. I'm messing it up. I'm so sorry for those of you who know the line.
You blew the line.
It, but that's as soon as you said that, that's immediately where I went. great, great line.
That's fantastic. Todd Pyro, listen, buddy, we appreciate it. Get the hell out of New York today. Don't go anywhere near the courthouse just in case.
I know. I have one more radio hit with Huntsville, Alabama, because I cheat on you on Tuesdays, and then I'm out.
But they have not sent you whiskey, I'll bet.
I'm going to call him. I want some of that Alabama hooch.
And that's exactly what it probably is. I'll just point that out. All right. Hey, Todd, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Thanks, brother.
All right. We'll talk soon. I ended with Todd just a few minutes early there because we have a little bit of breaking news out of Jefferson City. A deal has been struck in the Missouri Senate. This is what I'm told so far, and I'm going to read this to you in real time. They have agreed to a full ban on cross-sex hormones, puberty blockers, and surgeries for those under the age of 18. The cause of action to address any injuries is included with a statute of limitations of 15 years. after they turn 21, so I guess after they turn 21, they could sue if they had had damage when they were minors. They just voted on it, and now they're going to go on to the sports bill, which would be a full prohibition of biological men competing in women's sports. And in just a few minutes here, right after 2A Tuesday, with Cam Edwards, we are going to get Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman, who's still down there on the floor of the Senate, is going to call us with a full update on what the Senate has accomplished here. Just to give you all the details that we possibly can on this, since it is breaking news. So that just happened a couple of minutes ago down in Jeff City. They've been there all night. I mean, some of them haven't slept. I know Nick Schroer was called me at 5:30 this morning, and we had him on the air. And now Mary Elizabeth Coleman just texted me some pictures of the actual bill. And we're going to get her on the radio here and get you an update on this in just a couple of minutes. I'm looking at the write-up with the senator's signatures on it, with the deal. It's a deal, and couldn't be happier about it. So we'll get Mary Elizabeth Coleman on it about 7:45. Coming up next, 2A Tuesday with Cam Edwards. We're back in just a minute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
Welcome back. You know, as we talked about at the end of last week, the president put out some executive orders last week, which he claimed are, you know, somehow going to enhance the background system without any new laws or anything like that. It's another backdoor attempt, obviously, at restricting your Second Amendment rights. What's it all about? We got Cam Edwards with us this morning, of course, editor at BearingArms.com. Great to get him on here. Cam, how are you? Cam, you there? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we had to, I don't think we had your audio pod up over here. That's okay. I'll blame it all on my producer, Carl. So it's okay.
I had to look at my phone real quick, make sure my fat cheek didn't hit the mute button. That happens sometimes too.
I get you. I feel you, brother. What has Joe Biden accomplished with this executive order on, you know, new enhanced background checks? What's he trying to get to here?
I think he's trying to get some headlines, honestly, Mark. I mean, you know, the thing is, Biden's rhetoric around these executive orders and the reaction from gun control advocates were so hyperbolic compared to what this actually does, right? As you noted, this whole issue about background checks, if you look at his executive order, he directed the attorney general to ensure that background checks are being done whenever they're supposed to be being done. Well, okay. I mean, yeah. Isn't that what's supposed to happen anyway? He's pointing to, you know, a slight tweak in the language of who is engaged in the business of buying and selling firearms. And this was included as part of the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act last August. But it's a really minor tweak, right? So it used to be that you had to be engaged in the buying and selling of firearms for livelihood and profit. And now it's just for profit, right? But under the terms of, or under this definition, you still have to repeatedly buy and resell firearms for a profit. So you selling a gun from your personal collection or even divesting your collection doesn't turn you into a gun dealer. So it's really unclear how many more people are supposed to be FFLs now as opposed to before the passage of this gun control law. And I really don't see this having a huge impact. I think this is about you know, public relations, not public safety.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right about that. You know, a story that we recently had a school shooting here in St. Louis, and a story I've, no kidding, been covering because I was a reporter in this city for many years that I probably covered back in the mid-90s. I mean, late 90s, maybe. It's been a long time. Let's put it that way. They had me travel to a school district down in Texas, just north of Houston. The Spring School District is what it was called. And they had come up with a revolutionary way of stopping people who weren't supposed to be in the school. You had to enter into an area that was surrounded by bulletproof glass. You had to submit your ID to the person behind the glass who ran it through an immediate background check before they would grant you access to the building. And there was no way to get out of there without somebody hitting a buzzer and letting you into the building or out. So there are things that could be done. You guys have a great story on your site this morning, bearingarms.com, about a Michigan school system that's doing something similar by physically changing their schools, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is something that actually was one of the recommendations that came out of Parkland and Sandy Hook, right, is that you can make these physical changes to school buildings. We actually did this in my county in rural Virginia. When we moved here a decade ago, we toured the middle school, and this was a fairly new school, and the principal was pointing out some of the security features that had been put in place. And so you're right. If you can, you know, have that sort of entryway barrier where you've got a hardened system, maybe they can get in that front door, but they can't get beyond that vestibule, right? Then that's one quick way and fairly easy way to delay any bad actor from gaining entry to the school, right? And that's really what you're looking about at that point in time. If somebody comes up with murder on their mind, your goal is to prevent them from getting to those kids and those teachers for as long as possible in order to get law enforcement there as quickly as possible. It's one of the reasons why, you know, these security measures aren't just the physical security measures aren't the only option, right? We do need, I believe, school resource officers.
Yes.
I think armed, trained, volunteer school staff who will protect these kids. I think that is a very viable option for a lot of school districts. But as you say, the physical security, I think, is something that more school districts need to be paying attention to, because I think there's grant money available in some cases. In fact, it is part of the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. I think there's grant money available. And this is a really simple thing that districts can do to make sure that these kids and the staff are as safe as possible.
I'm with you. It's simple, but it's not cheap. And the minute you bring this stuff up, they poor mouth. But we don't have money for this, and we don't have money for that. But most of them in the greater St. Louis area, you know what they have these days? They have those fake surface football fields. So they're able to spend money on things they think are important, but not on things that deal directly with safety in the schools. And I'm not condemning the sports boosters for wanting better football fields for the athletes. But the point is, if there was a priority, they could get money spent on more school resource officers and they could harden these schools a little bit. But that's not what they want. They want to take away the guns of law-abiding citizens because they falsely believe that's going to fix the problem.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And again, you know, we've seen in places like California, no matter how many gun control laws you have on the books, criminals can access these firearms, right? And people with, again, murderous intent are not dissuaded or prevented from carrying out these attacks. In 2021, California had the most active shooting incidents of any state in the country.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think we can ban our way to safety. I think that's been proven.
Yeah.
But as you say, I think there are some, you know, concrete steps that could be done to make these harder targets, frankly.
Yeah, that's a great point. I tell you, Cam Edwards, appreciate your time. Podcast, Bearing Arms, Cam and Company podcast. You can find all that information at bearingarms.com. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Mark. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Good to get him on here this morning. Good conversation for school boards, don't you think, about how to harden the schools from these problems to get more good guys with guns in the building before some nut decides they're going to blast their way in and injure somebody. And it just makes perfect sense. Anyway, bearingarms.com, great article up there. All right, there was some breaking news just at the bottom of the hour. The Missouri Senate has voted to move forward a bill that would ban a lot of these transgender surgeries for minors. We're going to get Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman on next. They're also currently debating the bill on men in women's sports. We're going to get you an update on all of that when we come back. Breaking news out of Jefferson City, and good news, in my opinion, that we have gotten some action on this transgender restrictions for minors. And Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman is on the phone with us right now. Senator, thank you for giving me a minute this morning.
Yeah, thanks for giving us some time to talk about this important issue. The Senate reached a deal on two incredibly important issues and has perfected both of those bills. Senator Holly Thompson Rader's Senate Bill 39, Protecting Women's Sports, making sure that our kids are competing against girls, that girls are going to compete against girls, and a complete ban for 4 years. And then also Senator Mike Moon's Senate Bill 49, making sure that our kids are safe from some really horrific practices that we have learned about that are happening in gender clinics across the state. So a complete 4-year ban on that as well. And then for hormones and puberty blockers, and a permanent ban on surgeries, and then a bunch of other protections in case in the future we don't come back and extend that sunset on both of those clauses. So yeah,
was that part of the deal? Not to interrupt, but was the sunset what was required? I mean, why did they think that was necessary?
So the deal to get it through the Senate, we were just talking actually yesterday, right, about this and why negotiate with the Democrats when you have a supermajority. It's because you have to get them to sit down. So we went into session at 4 o'clock yesterday, and we just gaveled out at about 7:30 and in the morning. And so the deal was 4 years complete ban, and then honestly, we pass bills with sunset provisions all the time. Thomas Jefferson thought that all bills should have a sunset provision that we're not binding the future to. So it'll give us an opportunity to come back and extend that if we need to. But I don't think that it'll keep going, because the science is showing how harmful this is to our kids, right? So by putting a sunset, it gets a pause button. It stops what's happening and then lets things continue. The data to continue from other places.
Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman, my guest, get into the weeds for me a little bit. It's been perfected. That means it.
We got one more vote to go.
One more vote, right?
The Senate. Yeah. So it has to lay on the calendar, meaning there's a little bit of a pause. I'm not sure, because we just ended. It's kind of funny math. We just ended today. Well, we ended yesterday. Today, the legislative day. We're coming back in at 4 o'clock tonight. We're going to do some more work, some important issues that are, on the calendar that we've got to get to.
Right.
But then we've got one more vote, so that third read. So I think we might be able to go back and third read it today, but in all likelihood, it'll probably be tomorrow, or we call it third read Thursday. So you work on perfecting the bills all week, and then on Thursday you vote on all of them, and they all go over to the next chamber, over to the House.
So these still have to go to the House. Do you have any prognostication on what happens over there?
I think they get picked up and passed as is very quickly.
Nice.
This has been a priority for everybody. And often what happens is the heavy lift of getting things passed in the Senate means they don't come back. They're not going to, they're not going to amend these things and make changes. We've gotten an incredibly good deal that's going to protect kids. And so that's intact. The only other piece I think is part of the deal that listeners should know about is there was also a carve out for kids who are currently receiving the treatment. We don't have the number of how many kids that is in the state, but you can't be on hormones and puberty blockers and just come off of them cold turkey. There's like the antipsychotic medications or other, you know, there's certain medications that are really have very strong side effects and you can't, you have to wean off of them. And so there's a grandfather clause for kids who are currently receiving those treatments.
That's good. I mean, I know that among others, people from WashU were down there speaking against this, right? Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, so we had a massive rally. Citizens from all over the state came to support Senator Mike Moon and Senator Holly Thompson Rader's bills. And there was a counter protest with Antifa surrounding them. But, you know, the thing is that you can't talk to anybody in Jefferson County who says the government's role is to protect people, to protect, well, your individual rights, most importantly, but to protect children also. And, you know, we don't let kids in the state of Missouri receive a tan at 17. So we're sure as heck not going to let them receive medical treatment that is not treatment, but harming them.
Sure. Sure. Well, I appreciate the update on it. And what's next? I mean, I talked to Nick Schroer earlier. He said, will you guys look at the initiative petition reform? Is that something
initiative
that's on
there? Initiative petition's coming over. That's getting ready to go up on the block. I'm a little bit embarrassed. I can't remember what the bills were. I just know who Nick has a bill that's on the calendar. Curtis
right.
Trent and I have one that's on the calendar. That's number three in the slot. We have to go in order. And so I'm so sorry. I've been up all night and I can't remember what's next. I'm going to take a little nap when we stop chatting and get back at it.
Well, Senator, get some rest and thank you for giving us that update. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, and thanks for everybody who's written their senators. This has been an incredibly strong coalition of the supermajority, and I'm proud of the work that we were able to get done overnight.
No kidding. All right. Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman, thanks. Yep, we appreciate getting her on here, and clearly she was falling asleep as I talked to her. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, she's going to go take a nap. They gaveled in at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. They've been up all night. When this show started at 5 this morning, we got Senator Nick Schroer on, who stepped off the floor of the Senate. And then while he was off the floor, they held over one of the bills. I think it was Senator Reeder's bill, and they called a recess till 6 a.m. Then they went back and then they passed these two bills. I think that's fantastic. This is something we needed to get done so we don't have to ask these questions anymore about whether or not, you know, counselors in local schools are checking with the local transgender center first before informing parents about things like chest bindings. And, you know, this is clusters of children, according to the whistleblower report, who are coming from the same local schools to the center. Clusters of girls who suddenly all decide that they've got the same symptoms at the same time. Very strange. But progress has been made. It goes to the House next. Hopefully gets to the governor's desk before long. Next hour, guess what? We got more to come on schools for sure. A little update and some stuff going on in the Rockwood School District. We got a candidate who's running in the Parkway School District. And our friend Danny Define joins us in studio. We'll find out how his bracket is faring, Mr. Mizzou there, when he gets in here at 8:37. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.